Look, in the age of Trump, with the federal government going the wrong way on climate, attacking our health care, it's really going to be up to states to lead the way. And we need a strong state governor who's really willing to take Colorado in a bold new direction and really talk about and have the conversation about how we can save people money on health care and achieve universal health care. With the federal government going the wrong way on climate and energy and Trump talking about bailing out coal, we need a plan to get to 100% renewable energy here. I'm proud to have a plan to do that at PolisForColorado.com, and I'm proud to be backed and endorsed by the Sierra Club with our plan to build our renewable energy future and protect our public lands and open spaces, which are really an iconic part of who we are as Coloradans.
Well, in terms of energy, oil and gas is a huge issue here, and particularly along the Front Range and in your own congressional district right now. What is your position on local control of fracking, given the state's history of suing communities that have tried to impart local control?
I've always been supportive of putting more local control into law so that there's less uncertainty around what communities can do and that we don't wind up in the courtroom every time a local community is trying to make sure that they have a say over what happens in our own backyard, in our own neighborhoods.
Would you support a ban of fracking in the state if that was brought to the ballot?
No, of course not. That would destroy jobs in our state, and we have a lot of people, and I'm supported by many of the workers in oil and gas. I'm supported by the Pipe Fitters Union, who represents many workers in the oil and gas industry, and I'm excited to work with people on upping the bar on worker safety protections for people who work in oil and gas industry and making sure that as we build our renewable energy future, that people that work in fossil fuels are an important part of the jobs that the green energy economy will create.
And in terms of how the oil and gas industry is regulated, the COGCC, do you think that they need to change a focus and prioritize health and safety of Coloradoans when they are issuing permits pertaining to the Martinez case?
I support the finding in the Martinez case, which found that health and safety should be put first as a consideration. I would support putting that in the law or supporting it legally as a precedent to make sure that no matter what industrial activity we're talking about, whether it's chemical processing, whether it's oil and gas, whether it's pharmaceutical manufacturing, we always put the health and safety of Coloradans first.
I know that your climate action plan is extensively outlined on your website, which we will link to at kgnu.org. But could you just give our listeners a sense of some of the main areas of that plan that could be rapidly introduced here in the state?
We want to reduce the financing costs for home solar, raise the cap on solar gardens, make it easier to site solar and wind projects on state land. We own several million acres of state land, mostly in eastern Colorado, our renewable energy corridor. We have a plan for bonding to capture stranded assets in coal to help make sure that workers have the opportunity to work in renewable energy industry. And we have a number of other ideas about how we can actually achieve 100% renewable energy by 2040 on my website at PolisForColorado.com.
In terms of some of the other major issues, we're seeing nationwide and right here in Colorado growing wealth inequality. How could you address that as a governor?
It's been a great problem, both in our state and country, that even though the overall economy is doing well, many people are doing worse. I hear from so many people who might have a job and might have gotten 2 or 3% raise, but what good is that if your expenses have gone up 5 or 10% a year? So people are working harder for less. We talk a lot about employee ownership through stock options, ESOPs, and co-ops as one of the models, where workers can share in the value that's being created. I'm also supportive of the organized labor movement and letting local communities set a minimum wage above the state minimum wage to fit their local labor market conditions.
And in terms of retirement, here in Colorado, PERA and the pension fund for state employees was hotly debated here in the state of Colorado. What are some of your ideas for shoring up and to guarantee that people who have worked all their lives and have paid into various different funds, pension or social security, that they will have access to that?
Well, over the state, one of the most important retirement accounts that we manage is called PERA. That's a system that state employees, teachers, law enforcement officials, so many people pay into. And of course, like any pension system, people deserve what they were promised. And just as I've been a champion of protecting Social Security nationally, I'll protect retirement benefits in PERA for retired state employees and teachers.
I know as a congressperson, you were very vocal on immigration reform. As a governor, what could you do especially now in the light of what's happening with the Trump administration, the increased ICE raids, the fear that many of our immigrant communities are living through, and the family separation at the border? What could you do as a governor?
Well, I'm proud of Governor Hickenlooper's executive order that would prevent state funds from being used to separate families. And he also said that he wouldn't send the Colorado National Guard to the border to participate in separating families. I agree with that executive order and would build upon it in stark contrast to Republican frontrunner Walker Stapleton, who said he would send Colorado National Guard units to the border and participate in separating young children from their parents, which I think shows the stark difference in values between what the Republicans who are flocking to Donald Trump's xenophobic vision of our country and Democrats who are promoting a more inclusive vision that we all add to our success.
Would you declare Colorado to be a sanctuary state?
No, there is no legal definition of sanctuary state. I will prevent Donald Trump from co-opting local law enforcement and trying to order around our police department or our sheriff department to enforce our broken D.C. immigration system. Law enforcement should not be commandeered by Washington, D.C. bureaucrats. We should get to control it here to keep our communities safe.
We spoke about the growing wealth inequality. So much is connected to that, including housing costs and also healthcare. And access to healthcare is of grave concern. How would you address what's happening right now as we're seeing the efforts to completely undo the Affordable Care Act? How could you, as governor, deal with this issue of providing healthcare to everybody in the state?
Once again, the opportunity for bold leadership on reaching a universal health care and saving people money is at the state level. Coloradans know that we're getting ripped off, whether it's on prescription drugs that Coloradans and Americans pay 5-8 times as much as Canadians and Germans, or the reflection of those costs in higher health care insurance rates than any other industrialized country. I'm ready to lead the way in Colorado with a common payer across Western states, or a single payer in Colorado, to negotiate for better prescription drug rates, to negotiate for providers. We can save people money, and we can use some of those savings to cover everybody in our state, because healthcare is a human right.
Would you support a single payer system?
Yes, for 10 years I've supported a single payer nationally, and I'm the only candidate running for governor that's willing to consider that as a model that saved Coloradans money.
In terms of campaign finance, there has been a lot of coverage on where funding for campaigns is coming from and how much money each campaign is raising. You personally, I know, have contributed, I believe the latest report was $11 million of your own funds to your campaign. With so much attention now on where resources are going to support campaigns, can you confirm where the campaign funding is coming for your campaign?
Well, yes, all of it is, of course, disclosed. I'm the only candidate that is not accepting any PAC or special interest contributions and is capping individual contributions at $100. I'm investing alongside over 4,000 Coloradans who have donated to my campaign, and we've had over 200 grassroots events across the state free for voters to be able to meet me in their neighborhood and tell me about the issues that they care about.
In many ways, though, you can do that because of your own personal resources. Do you think now that politics, and particularly these high-profile statewide races, that we're now excluding a whole segment of society who maybe don't have those personal resources to invest in this type of campaign?
Well, unfortunately, I think all the people running for governor are millionaires. But what I've been able to do is not rely on out-of-state Republican donors like Meg Whitman or Enron executives that have given to my Democratic opponents. Instead, we've been able to build a strong base of support of over 4,000 small donors here in the state of Colorado that I'm proud to invest alongside of. And many of them have donated to me because they know that I will invest alongside them and won't be selling out to corporate interests or out-of-state interests.
And just in terms of the election integrity, there was a lot of backlash against the Raise the Bar that was approved by voters, but now makes it harder for voters in Colorado or for grassroots organizers in Colorado to change the Constitution. I mean, what are your thoughts on that and people's influence in our democracy in this grassroots way?
I'm a big fan of the Citizens Initiative system. I am the only person running for governor that publicly opposed Amendment 71, which made it harder to amend our Constitution. If we were redesigning things from scratch, I understand the general concept that maybe we should have a higher bar on amending the Constitution. But the problem is, over so many years, so many things have been written into the Constitution, like Tabor, that it's too late to simply make it harder to change. And I think that the Citizens Initiative process, if we care about meaningful campaign finance reform, if we care about ending the stranglehold that the elites and politicians have over our political system, we should not be making it harder for the people to amend our Constitution.
Well, just as we finish up here, to go back to a topic that we started on, fracking, because it is such a huge concern for people all around the state of Colorado, particularly here along the Front Range. As governor, would you did say that you would prefer to change the law so that we wouldn't sue communities who are trying to enact local control. But if those laws aren't changed, because we've seen successive failures at the state legislature to change laws, would you as governor direct the Attorney General or the other institutions in the state to sue communities if they were trying to enact local control, if those laws don't get changed?
Well, keep in mind that the Attorney General choice is a very important election for the people of Colorado, because it is the Attorney General that makes those decisions and controls most of the legal resources in the state. Now, Governor Hickenlooper made a decision, which I support, not to appeal the Martinez case. I also would have made that decision because I support that case. But again, who we elect as Attorney General is incredibly important, because at the end of the day, they control the attorneys that can file lawsuits on behalf of our state.